Welcome to Milestone Moments, the show where we explore the journeys that lead to success. I'm Sheila Slick, your host and founder of 5 Milestones. In every episode, we will bring you insights from the minds of entrepreneurs, leaders, and experts who will share not just their expertise, but the milestone moments that have reshaped their journeys and led to significant achievements. So if you're looking for motivation, you're in the right place. Subscribe now and discover the milestones that mark the path to success. Welcome to another episode of Milestone Moments in Business and Leadership. I'm your host, Sheila Slick. And today, my super special guest is Julie Loken, JD. She is a visibility strategist, and she's the CEO of The Mediacasters, where she helps visionary entrepreneurs turn big ideas into bold visibility. As founder of CreativeCon, Chicago's annual visibility summit, and host of the Get Obsessed podcast, Julie blends legal insights, branding expertise, and storytelling brilliance to amplify underestimated voices. She's also a best-selling author of the Hustle Smart series. She's a certified life coach and the mother of not one, not two, not three, but 4 boys. Welcome to the show, Julie.
Thank you, Sheila. You did your research. And obviously, I'm a hoarder of experiences and children. So thank you.
That's going to be an entire different episode. Like, we could almost even start a podcast just based on some of the conversations we've had. You went to law school. You got a JD.
Yep.
Yet you're not practicing law. You instead have built a career amplifying other people's voices, whether it be through media, through podcasting, even publishing. Mm-hmm. So what was that pivotal moment when you realized that you didn't want to practice law and do these other things instead?
So that's an amazing kind of question. And not many people even know that I'm trained as an attorney. I come from a long lineage of male attorneys. Both of my grandfathers are attorneys. My father's an attorney. Everyone seems to be an attorney. We don't even have one plumber in our family. And I thought to myself, Julie, you are going to be the first woman attorney in the family. So I'm like, okay, let's sign up to be an attorney. I don't even know how I passed the LSATs to get into law school, but I did. And I would say 3/4 during law school. I went to law school part-time because I started when I was 27. I went into the workforce, kind of realized I wanted to do something different, was feeling my way around it. I was married and I was pregnant and I was in my criminal law final exam and started going into labor during my final exam. And I was like, oh God, oh, I don't know if this is what I really want to be doing. It's not really for me. I want to help people. I want to do other things. I think I just went to do this to prove a point that I could actually graduate law school and become a lawyer because I wanted to do this for my family. So it was a few years of reckoning, figuring out who I was. I knew I always wanted to be a mother, obviously, for 4 boys later. I didn't know I wanted to be an entrepreneur. My father was an excellent role model as he built a huge law firm in Chicago. But I didn't know how to articulate it in my mind. There was no such thing as being an entrepreneur major back in the day. So I didn't know really what it was until I hit about 40. And then I was like, bing, 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 that is what I want to do. I want to be an entrepreneur. It was a long, slow process. Being a lawyer, yes, it was a great foundation to learn how to be discerning, how to negotiate, how to read, how to negotiate issues, how to look at a contract, how to communicate with people on a professional level that nobody else can understand. Yeah, and I didn't really want to get into the courtroom. I didn't really want to practice law because it is a grind. I didn't want to work for 80 hours a week with a little baby. So I started my own business online, which people weren't really doing that at that time, Sheila. And I don't know, did you have an online business, Sheila, back in the day?
I did. But before I share that.
Okay, sorry. I always turn the tables because I'm a podcaster too. So I had to warn you, like, I start interviewing the podcaster. So just stop me. Sorry.
No, this is great. I just want to know what happened with the exam. You obviously passed it because you earned the law degree, but did you complete the test at that moment while in?
Oh, yeah.
No,
I did. I slowed down that labor. It's funny. That's the son that I was pregnant with. He's actually in school right now for criminal justice. This is funny. I'm getting the goosebumps. I didn't even think about it right now. He's a junior in college. He's studying criminal justice and he's applying to law school. So isn't that weird? I was in law school.
Well, it's maybe where he began, you know, where he started being born. And
there may be. I got to be on that test. I got to be on that test. So I'm like, oh, I should have got an A. But yeah, I had him shortly thereafter. But yeah,
so
that's funny.
Is it a male professor or a female professor?
It was a male. Yeah. A lot of male professors. I feel like it was male heavy for sure.
Did he know you were in labor? I'm just fascinated.
Oh, probably because I was like, oh, well, I was huge, first of all. And I was like, oh, God. And I was probably rocking back and forth. And I probably looked miserable. I was in the first row. And I was like, probably rocking back and forth, looked horrible, like horribly uncomfortable, you know. So he probably recognized that I looked horribly uncomfortable. He's like, do you need to step outside? And I'm like, I'm okay. I'm going to finish this exam. So that's when I kind of realized I was maybe... this might not be for me, but I recognized 3/4 through law school that I didn't choose this for myself. I was trying to prove a point, but I had to finish because that would be ridiculous if I didn't finish law school. And then I really started my family, and it just didn't make sense. You know, as I graduated, walked through the podium, my father, who was an attorney, he handed me my diploma, and I had to tell him I didn't want to be an attorney. And that was hard, but he understood and has supported me ever since. So you'll get to meet him in February. So,
yes, because I am attending CreativeCon and I look forward to meeting you in person.
Yeah.
So your question to me was, did I ever do online e-commerce?
Yeah.
So my first business, I was always meant to be an entrepreneur because I'm a fourth generation entrepreneur. And I thought, you know, just talking about business and being part of the business, I would sometimes work summer jobs in the family business. All my grandparents had businesses, my parents. So I thought that was just part of the normal conversation. So for me, it was, what kind of business do you know, want to do? Now, my husband, he's also an entrepreneur. And actually, one of his two majors was entrepreneurship. So it was a match made in heaven. It was just a matter of what company are we going to start? And he had a business plan in hand by the time he graduated college. And that business has yet to be formed.
Wow.
But opportunity knocked and we found ourselves moving overseas. And our first company was a cultured marble manufacturing. And my second company that I co-founded, because I got pregnant during that first one, didn't want to be around chemicals and factory and construction sites, was with my grandmother and my mother. And it was a retail jewelry company. But when the internet was introduced, it was a window to the world. And I was living overseas. So I was like, well, how can we export our designs using this fascinating new tool? And I became so fascinated, would be the word, by this new window to the world that it actually led me to learn how to code a few years later when the mobile application was introduced. And by that point, I was a mother of two. So I started creating educational apps. I had wanted a master's degree, but being a mother and having... you know, the company overseas, it was like, are you having a midlife crisis, is what they would ask me. And I said, no, I've always just wanted to break my own glass ceiling. Now, not with a law degree, but with a master's degree. None of the women in our family had achieved a master's degree. I self-taught myself pretty much how to code. And before you knew it, I started making apps. But I was a jeweler with mother and grandmother. So 4 years in of that, a university called me in and said, NASA is having a hackathon, and we know that you are someone that has learned how to code. Can you participate? And I thought, a hackathon? NASA? No. And next day I went in after my kids were like, Mother, you've taught us that you can't fail if you don't try, and you're not trying. So to our surprise, NASA gave us a global honorable mention. That's how I got into IT many, many, many years ago. And that's what I do today. That's my story, Julie.
That's an incredible story. I love that.
When you said you realized that you didn't want law, that's what your, you know, family, perhaps kind of like with me with entrepreneurship, that was what you were meant to do. I think that's a common pattern sometimes with parents, right? Is, oh, this is what you should do.
Mm-hmm.
I raised my kids differently, which we had that conversation. It was in today's day and age, right? Do you what works for you. You don't need a college degree if you don't want one. You can do just fine with a master's or a bachelor's or go for that PhD. I think that the world has changed so much in these decades that there's opportunities.
Right. And I've even told my kids, because I think since I've graduated college, it was just so natural that you go to high school and you go to college. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, at least how I grew up and where I grew up. And now I see it so differently because the idea of college has become such a business. Now, I've had one graduate from college, one's in college, one's getting ready to go to college, and I have one in the backseat. You know, he's still young, but not necessarily. I think every college isn't for everybody. And I wouldn't be sad if one of my kids decided not to go to college. They need a direction, but I think entrepreneurship is such a big component now. I think these kids have ideas. If they have a mentor, if they have a vocation, and Gary Vee, in a conversation I had with Gary Vaynerchuk, he was one that really opened my eyes to it. Just to, in today's world, you don't necessarily need to walk out with $200,000 of debt and you're working at McDonald's. No offense to people who work at McDonald's, but walking out with $200,000 of debt and working a minimum wage job is very commonplace these days. When you really have an idea, a spark, surrounding yourself with people and a vocation, and you have an idea, there are so many other options now besides college. I think we were, college, but kids aren't making the money or doing the things they really, truly want to. That being said, I'm not sure college is for every single person these days. And I think men or women, we really got to listen to our hearts. What do we love to do? Because I've seen so many people miserable in those golden handcuffs for so many years that are in that job, and they hate it. How many friends do you have that complain about their 9-to-5 and they can't get out of it because they need their benefits? They need their health insurance. They have their 401ks. There's no escape. They have those golden handcuffs. There's no escape. They didn't listen to their heart, and they've lived that life, and you know, they have regrets. So I don't want at least my children to live with those regrets.
Nor you. You got to think about you too now that the kids are growing.
Yeah, I don't live. That's one thing I don't live without. I don't live with regrets, obviously. I did. With my introduction, you can tell I just jump in with 2 feet as long as I'm not making anybody else suffer with my decisions. So
I want to learn more about how you amplify underestimated voices. What does that mean? And what's your why behind that?
Technically, I'm a media strategist. So I see things that other people don't, especially people in business. I'm a PR strategist, plain and simple. I work with all businesses from Fortune 500 companies to presidential, to people who've worked in the White House, to reality television stars, to solopreneurs, just the whole gamut. But I elevate their voices through not social media, but earned media. So the difference is social media, per se, but I'm going to, I feel like I make people angry when I say this. Social media to me is the lowest hanging fruit. Everyone can do it. And you are pretty much brainwashed to just be on social media 24/7. You lose so much time. You think, oh, you're going to become famous. You're going to become rich. But it's really the earned media. It's getting in the press, in the mainstream press, in that really elevates your brand reputation. That's where I elevate them. Why did I get into this? Well, I'm a journalist at heart. I love writing. My background is in journalism. That's what I went to school with. I've always been a writer, and I've always elevated other people because I technically, if you really want to go back to it, I never had a voice. I was always told to shut up. Not by my family. My family always elevated me, but I was always quirky, weird. Not weird, but I was always loud and like, ooh, and different, and always just, you know, I just had no filter, really. I just said what I thought and was very creative, and people just didn't get it. Everyone wants to follow a certain line, and I just didn't. I would be like, let's do this, let's do that. Still to this day, people say that, and I decided, you know, I'm going to let my voice shine, and I like to see other people's voices shine, and I love to see people's voices shine on a really big scale. That's why I do what I do.
So now give us one trick, one action we can take to get out of the social media and live with that bigger, better opportunity that you mentioned.
And you really don't. I mean, you do need someone like me consistently, but you don't need me. You can do your own PR if you want to. For example, you can go on X, aka Twitter. And you want to become friends with journalists. So Twitter is, if you like social media, and I'm telling you to go on social media. If you like social media, look for the hashtag journo requests, hashtag journo requests. That's JOURNOREQUESTS. And that's a great hashtag. That's if journalists are looking for quotes or experts, they are on Twitter, and you can just see maybe they're looking for you and just pitch them. Pitch journalists or go on muckrack.com. That's where all the journalists are. I'm verified on Muckrack, and find the journalist that speaks to you, your expertise, and that's where you can pitch them. Start pitching journalists. Don't tell them all about you. Know what they're talking about. Send them a short snippet whatever you're an expert with, but become friends with those journalists. And those are two little snippets. And I'm happy to give you some more so you can put it in your show notes if you want.
Anything you want to share on my show notes?
Sure.
So now let's talk about CreativeCon. What is it?
My favorite topic, by the way.
Well, it is coming up.
And I'm so excited. I get to meet you in person.
So I want to hear all about it. How did this concept come up, and what made you want to create it?
It's third year. This year is really the explosion year. And it is like planning a wedding every single year. And I'm not kidding. It is one time a year live event. We have a beautiful venue, downtown Chicago, perfect location. That's besides the point. But we have a gathering of entrepreneurs, small businesses, solopreneurs who are looking to up level their businesses and brands, who are looking to be around real thought leaders, who are looking to meet and not touch in a creepy way, but touch thought leaders and network like heck. Network, network, network. Because one thing I know is all the conferences I go to, it's like you sit there in a seat, you listen to person after person after person, pitch, 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 and then you go home. The biggest thing I take away from most conferences is the Rolodex of network of people I meet at the most. You forget everything else. So I want to eliminate that velvet rope. I want you to meet people, have conversations with people, even the people on stage, and create a community. It becomes a community thereafter that you have, not just that day, but thereafter. People that you can't quit. That was the onus for me by going to all these conferences. it was 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I started in my head and brought on Dom Domasky, and we slowly brought a team we trusted, and it's grown. And now this year, Jim Quick, the renowned brain coach, David Meltzer is coming again, Justin Guarini from American Idol, Kim Wallace Phillips, just VaynerX, the president of VaynerX, Gary Vaynerchuk's partner, going to be there. Great amount of great speakers. And it's for entrepreneurs and small businesses who want to level up in a very personalized way.
So the event begins on a Friday. There's a networking event on that Friday. Then it's all day Saturday, and it runs through Sunday. Now, I got the VIP ticket, so I'm really excited to be able to join some of these events, and the venue looks absolutely stunning. So where can the audience learn more or buy those tickets to be able to join us at CreativeCon?
Well, if you want to meet Sheila Slick in person, join us. Get your ticket, because Sheila's, first of all, going to be there, and she's a VIP. We're going to roll out the red carpet for her at www.creativecon.com, creativecon.com. creativecon.com. And it's going to be amazing. And every person feels like a VIP when they walk through those doors. It's going to be super fun. A lot of surprises, a lot of snacks, fun networking, and amazing thought leaders that you will get to meet personally. You will leave a changed person, entrepreneur.
Before I let you go, I want to learn all about your podcasts. So you have three podcasts.
I do. I have three podcasts. The first podcast is called Get Obsessed. It is the flagship podcast in my arsenal of podcasts. It is a personal development podcast. It has been just a joy to do that. My second podcast is called the Creative Entrepreneur Podcast. It is a reflection of my love for business. I do that with my partner, Dom Domasky. It is a reflection of CreativeCon as well. It is branded with CreativeCon, and we've been doing that four years. And the third one is a true crime podcast, which really has not launched because it's an investigative podcast about an unsolved murder here in the suburbs of Chicago. So stay tuned, because we're going to solve that murder. It's called Murder in Morton Grove.
So you're going to put your legal hat on for that one?
Well, it's more like investigative journalist hat, you know, just trying to figure out who murdered these two high school girls back in 1979. And I pretty much know who did it, but you know, you need the evidence. You can't convict somebody without the evidence. And that's the sticking point. And the sad part is, I want this solved before the families die, because it's 45 years old. That's the sad part.
So you are using your legal hat. I heard you use the word evidence. That's legal terminology, Julie.
Thank you. Maybe I am.
My last question is, what is the one thing that you think most people get wrong about building authentic visibility today?
I touched on it a little bit. Social media is important. It is a component to building a brand. You need it. It's great to build your domain authority. I'm not diminishing that, but it's not the only thing. People forget about earned media. You need to have a Google knowledge panel, which means Google recognizes you. You want to be able to be searched. If people can't find you on Google, you know, why are you building a business? So don't forget the other things. Earned media, getting in the press, getting on TV, getting exposure on many different levels. So do dabble in social media, but don't focus totally on that.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Julie.
Thank you, Sheila. It's been amazing. I adore you, and I'm honored to be here.
Thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Milestone Moments in Business and Leadership. Until next time.